Sunlight setting afire the vibrant foliage of the Appalachian foothills in the distance.
Don't take that tone with me, baby girl. Yes, your daddy. You know how important this event is to him. The Harpies are a big damn deal, and you know how hard he's worked to even be considered for a spot on the committee. He's already got one strike against him, him unfortunately being a man and all. Poor Daddy. I reckoned she hadn't minded a whit about his being a man before this Harpy's madness started up. The Hitching Post Restoration and Preservation Society, the Harpies for short, was a small group of 5 influential townsfolk who were well known for their successful fundraisers, restoration projects, and elitism. Primarily consisting of uppity women, it had taken 20 years for them to admit the first man into their folds. Haywood Dodd had joined 6 months ago, and if the rumors were to be believed, he had been allowed into the group only because of his relationship with Hyacinth Foster, the long-standing president of the Harpies, who, despite being an off-the-charts philanthropist, was more well-known for having buried 3 husbands. There were whispers around town about her being some sort of black widow, but no one had ever dared to out-and-out accuse her of wrongdoing. If Haywood had heard the whispers, he paid them no heed. He was head over heels for her. Hay and High. The cuteness factor was enough to make me a little nauseous. In addition, gossip had been circulating all week about a big announcement Haywood planned to make at tonight's event. Speculation ranged between his popping the question to Hyacinth in front of God and everyone to announcing his resignation from the group. Admittedly, I was quite curious about it myself, as Haywood was rather shy and not one to seek a spotlight. It had to be something really big, enormous, and I wanted to know what. I was nothing if not nosy. All I knew was that the announcement was giving him anxiety, as he'd come in earlier for a calming potion. I'd tried to wheedle information from him, but he hadn't given me so much as a hint to go on. He had just kept saying,
"You'll find out tonight."
Running low on air, Mama sucked in a breath and started on me again.
"As you darn well know, tonight's masquerade ball is an audition of sorts to see how your daddy fits in. And how's it going to look if you don't attend to support him? His only child. His flesh and blood. I'll tell you how it'll look. Bad. Horrible. A slap in the face of all that is good and righteous."
My mama was in quite the tizzy, and Veronica Rona Fowle in a tizzy was quite entertaining, let me tell you. But no matter how fiercely she tried to spin it, I knew this was all her idea. She was jumping through these harpy hoops for one reason and one reason only. Daddy was driving her batty. Ever since his hours had been slashed at the public library, he'd been a bored, mopey mess of a man, and my mama was ready to sell his soul to get him out of her hair. She'd filled out all the harpy paperwork and forced Daddy to fork over an enormous donation to the Ezekiel Mansion's restoration fund, and browbeat him until he made one in my name, too. It was the only reason I'd been invited to the masquerade ball, which was being held to celebrate the recent completion of the project. All donors were expected to attend. Otherwise, my name would not have made the cut on the invitation list due to my contentious relationship with the vice president of the Harpies, Patricia Davis Jackson, the most uppity of them all. Oh, fine. I suppose she had the teeniest bit of a soft side. After all, her nearest and dearest called her PJ, and had done so since she married Harris Jackson at age 22, when she was fresh out of college. I called her Patricia Davis Jackson, or plain old Patricia, or the face of evil. It was a toss-up most days. She'd almost become my mother-in-law twice, and we had a long history of hating each other. I'd once poked her in the butt with a pitchfork.